This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله and welcome to Lessons in Fiqh. We continue what we've discussed last time we met, which is the first hadith in the chapter that deals with sutra. And sutra means the screen or the object you put in front of you before you pray. Brother Fadi, can you read this hadith again, please?
Narrated by Abu Juhaym ibn al-Harith, may Allah be pleased with him. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if the person who passes in front of another person in prayer knew the magnitude of his sin, he would have been better for him to wait for 40 than pass in front of him. In another narration of al-Bazzar, he said 40 years.
So he identified the word 40 by saying it's 40 years. In this hadith, it tells us that it is highly recommendable to pray to a screen. And it doesn't say that clearly, but it tells you that you, as a person who is not praying, it's forbidden for you to pass in front of a person who is praying. Of course, we will come to know that what is meant is that in the case that this person is praying to a screen, you may not pass between him and the screen. This is completely forbidden and it's a major sin, as we will know, inshallah. And the reason behind that is that when a person is praying, he is contemplating with in his prayer and he is talking to Allah. He is talking to the Almighty and praying to him, supplicating to him, asking for his forgiveness. So that is why it is unlawful for you to break this bond, to break this connection by passing in front of him. And this is one of the benefits of the screen, of the sutra, that it makes you observe your prayer, and it does not allow you to gaze right, left, or center. Because you're concentrating, you have this object in front of you, and it consists the borders of your sight. So usually people don't look beyond that line or that position. And because it is so sacred that a person is praying to Allah Azza wa Jal, that is why it's forbidden for us to destroy churches and places of worship. Is that true? Is it true that it's forbidden for Muslims to destroy churches and places of worship?
Yes.
Yeah. Mustafa?
I don't think it's completely true. I think you can destroy churches if they're built under dhimmi rule. If there are dhimmis and they build new churches, I think you're allowed to destroy these churches.
No, I'm talking about existing churches. Yeah. Abu Malik?
Well, according to destroying it, it only goes back to the Muslim leader, and he can only do that if it's against the Muslim laws, if they have the, what do you call it, their statues hung up outside the church or whatnot.
Okay, but generally speaking, if you are outside of the Arabian Peninsula and this country has a church or a place of worship, is it permissible for Muslims to come and destroy it?
No.
These are places of worship. People are entitled to worship their gods, to practice their religion, providing they are outside of the Arabian Peninsula, because in the Arabian Peninsula, it's a different situation. It's forbidden for them to practice their religion in public. Of course, they can be Christians and Jews in the Arabian Peninsula, as the case now, and they worship their God, they worship, they practice their religion in private, not in public, because in public it's against the Islamic law, and they may do this in private. And again, what is wrong is to pass in front of a person praying. But what happens if you are sitting down? Is this wrong? So sometimes I finish prayer and I look behind me and I find this person praying to me. So is this a sin? Am I sinful? No, because I'm his screen. I'm his sutra at the moment. So if a person was sitting down or lying down, or even if a person was standing up and there's another one behind him praying to him and considering him as his sutra, this is allowed and there's nothing wrong in that. The hadith tells us, Mustafa.
Okay, if there's someone praying, can you actually go and pray behind him and like with the intention that he is your sutra?
What do you think, Mustafa?
Yes, I think you can.
Yes, you can. It's simple. You can consider anything to be sutra, providing whether it's an animal, a human being, or any object. You can consider it to be a sutra and pray to it, but passing through is not acceptable because then it distracts you and it's not considered acceptable. Brother Fadi.
Sometimes during Ramadan, when we're in Mecca, it's very, very crowded and it's hard to stop people from passing by. So when you stop them, they say that the ruling for Mecca is a different ruling. Is this true or false?
Now, this is a different story because Mecca and other scholars say Medina have different verdicts to them. Mecca, the ruling is different because it doesn't have any pillars. It's an open plaza, it's an open area, usually. And it's so crowded that, you know, if you want to avoid passing in front of people praying, you'll zigzag and probably end up closer to the Kaaba rather than leaving the masjid. So scholars say that yes, Mecca is a different story. You may pass in front of people because there is no other way around it. Some scholars say no, it is exactly like any other masjid, such as, and this is the verdict of Imam Al-Albani, may Allah have mercy on him, he says that no, you have to stop. You may not cross or pass in front of a person praying. Bin Baz, may Allah have mercy on him, say it's okay for you to do this only in Al-Haram.
So we should try our best, like if we're going in a straight direction and there's someone praying, just to be as much as possible outside the region,
praying area.
For
yes.
Prostration, right?
Yes, of course. You should try this your best. Brother Mustafa.
Okay, with regards to what we said before, can you take an animal as your sutra, any type of animal actually? Or?
Yes, even if it's a donkey.
Even if it's a donkey?
Yes. Even if you take an animal as a donkey to be your sutra, is acceptable. Though, there is a hadith that tells us that there are three things that interrupt your prayer. And I don't want to go into this because I think it's going to come later on. But yes, to answer your question at the moment, yes. Providing that the animal is not passing through, is not passing in front of you. If the animal is sitting, then you may pray to it. What is the verdict on sutra? Is it a sunnah or is it a wajib? It's an issue of dispute among scholars. Some say, and this is the majority, it is sunnah. It's not obligatory. Others say, no, it is wajib, and if you don't take sutra, then you consider it to be sinful. And I feel more comfortable with the verdict of the majority, which says it's sunnah. Because there are hadiths that were reported that the Prophet ﷺ prayed in Mecca and there were no screens in front of him and the people used to make tawaf in front of him and this did not affect his prayer. Abu Malik.
Yes, in Medina, the Sahaba, if we go back to the two rakahs that they used to pray before Maghrib, they used to go to, you know, like the pillars of the mosque.
Yes.
And if, you know, we like this, it could be fard, because if you go back to Mecca, we could say Mecca has a, you know, in its own its own case.
I didn't get you. Now, the hadith says that the companions, whenever they prayed the sunnah, they used to go and pick a pillar and pray to it. So it would consist or make a sutra for them. This doesn't say or doesn't at all imply that it is obligatory.
But we don't have any evidence to make it not.
Well, one has to have the evidence saying that you must pray to it, otherwise your prayer is invalid. Because if the Prophet says you must pray it and you do not, then it becomes invalid. And again, in the case of Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ could have put anything in front of him. Though he did not have a pillar, but you cannot argue and say he could not ask a person to sit in front of him. You cannot say that he could not have a saddle and put in front of him or any object, as in the case that he used to go for the Musalla for Eid. Whenever he went out to the open to pray Eid, he used to have what we call anaza, and he used to put it. So, not putting it, and there are other hadiths that we will come through with, inshallah, that explains this a little bit more, tells us that it's not obligatory. And we cannot make things obligatory and make things difficult to people without having a sound evidence and strong argument that, you know, that could pass. So I personally like the and feel more comfortable with the verdict of the majority of scholars. Nevertheless, when I pray, I always pray to something. I always pray to an object, to a screen, to a sutra, even if I am in my own room. Even if there's no one else in the room, I prefer to pray to the sutra just to be on the safe side, and secondly, to protect my sight from going here and there. Because the minute you have something in front of you, it increases your submissiveness, it increases your contemplation, it increases your awareness of the prayer. While when you pray in the open, your sight may go here and there, and this would not be acceptable. Now, in this hadith again, it tells us that passing by is not permissible, and there's a great burden for those who pass. And remember that we talked about passing by close to the person praying. But if a person is praying where I'm sitting at the moment, and he's not praying to a sutra, now, is it possible for you to pass in front of him, like 2 or 3 meters away? Is it a sin? No, it's not. Is it possible to pass away from him a meter away? If he's not praying to a sutra, it's okay. It's his mistake. It's the person praying's mistake for not taking a sutra. What's not permissible for you is to cross the area of his praying, which is from the from his feet till the point where he puts his forehead when he prostrates. This is completely forbidden, whether he's praying to a sutra or not. If you cross this area, you're sinful. But if he does not have a sutra, it's okay to pass away from that point. Now, when he has a sutra, then this is completely out of the question, and it's a major sin. We have a short break, so stay tuned.
On the road to Medina, our beloved Prophet Muhammad and his companions faced lots of troubles and difficulties and enmities and obstacles in the way to Medina before the hijrah to Medina from Mecca. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assisted his beloved Prophet and supported him in order to complete his mission and to immigrate to Medina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this great Prophet and his companions. Now the question, why the immigration to Medina, the hijrah of Rasulullah and his companions, was a turning point in the history of hijrah and the history of Islam? My dear brothers and sisters, what are the sacrifices that the Prophet Muhammad has faced with his companions. Some of these difficulties, inshallah, we will learn together and we will focus in some lessons. What are the lessons that we take from these incidents, inshallah, in our program, Road to Medina. My dear brothers, stay tuned with us, inshallah, in this great event of Hijrah. We will, inshallah, focus on some of the lessons in this program, Road to Medina. May Allah make it easy for us and accept our good deeds and gather us with our beloved Prophet Muhammad SAW in Jannah. Amen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome back. The following hadith, hadith number 181, will be read by Brother Noor.
Narrated by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked in the expeditions of Tabuk about the sutra of the person who is offering the prayer. He said, it is something like the back of a saddle.
So, in this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about the sutra in the sense that, what is it? How does it look like? So he indicated the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it should be as or similar to the back of a saddle. And the back of a saddle is about two-thirds of an arm length. So it's almost a foot or so. A foot or so. This high. So this is the back of a saddle. If you want to pray, you're supposed to put something in front of you, or you should pray to something that is at least as high or like the back of a saddle. And from this hadith, we learn that a sutra, or the screen, is sunnah, whether you're traveling or you're residing, whether you are in town or out of town. It is a sunnah for you to take. And scholars have, you know, different opinions of regarding the height. And some of them, like Imam Ahmad, went to the extent to say that if you could not find anything, then just draw a line and consider that this line is your sutra. There is no authentic hadith backing this up, but it's just an opinion of a scholar of Islam in case that a person does not or cannot afford to have a sutra. You're in a place that nothing, there's nothing, it's all in the open. So what should I do? He said just draw a line to indicate that this is your sutra. We move on to hadith number 182.
Narrated by Sabra bin Ma'bad al-Juhani, radiallahu an, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let one of you who is in prayer put a sutra in front of him, even if it is in error.
Okay, now this hadith, it was regarded by some of the scholars to be not authentic. But the meaning is correct, because it tells you that you should take a sutra even by erecting an arrow. And this is similar to erecting the anaza. Huh? You remember the anaza? Which is the short stick like a spear. So this is the sunnah, and it is recommended that you do something no matter how thin it is, because an arrow is very thin. So it will not cover anything in front of you, but it will help you to focus in your prayer and not to exceed this area. So it would be like borders for you, and it would be good for your sight not to exceed this arrow or this line or this object and look what's behind it. And this can be easily understood when you look at people praying. Now the sunnah is for you to look where, Fadi, while praying?
At the place of sujood, the place of prostration.
At the place where you put your forehead on, which is the place of prostration. This is the sunnah. When you stand up in prayer, you should do this. Now, I, as an imam of a mosque, when I finish my prayer, The sunnah is I turn around and face the people praying. And I see wonders. Believe me, I see wonders. Because the people that did not complete the prayer with me and had still have two or three rak'ahs to finish, once they complete their prayer, I look at them as I make my supplication at tasbih and dhikr. And I look at them and I find people at the end of the masjid, at the very end side of the masjid, looking at me. So it's you're talking about a 45 to maybe 60, 70 degrees. And I look at the person and the guy is looking at me. And the minute he sees me looking at him, he goes, and I give him like a couple of seconds or more, and I'm still looking at him. And he goes, and he finds me looking at him, he goes back again. What kind of prayer is this? What kind of prayer is this? There are so many people, when they pray, they don't contemplate in their prayer. They don't have the khushu' needed. They don't look at the position where they are. They should prostrate. And you find them gazing left, right, and looking upwards, and doing this, and watching others. And this is a clear sign that their prayer is not complete. And we always give the example of AWACS airplanes. You know, the one with the radars, because they always do this. Look around, left and right. This is not prayer. He's playing. A Muslim, when he prays, he does not move. He looks at the place, at the ground where he puts his forehead, and he contemplates it with his prayer and has khushur. But when he looks around and looks at the people passing by, this is a clear sign that his prayer is not complete and he should work real hard on fixing his prayer. We move on to the following hadith.
Narrated by Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in case there is not before him an object like the back of a saddle, a Muslim's salah prayer would be cut off by the passing of a woman, a donkey, and a black dog. And it concludes, the black dog is a devil.
Now, this hadith is a place of dispute among scholars. And the most prominent scholar that disagreed with this hadith is, do you know? Mother Aisha. May Allah be pleased with her. The wife of the Prophet ﷺ. When she heard this hadith, she said, oh my God, may Allah forgive you. You have made us women in the same category as dogs and donkeys. This hadith tells us that if a person is not praying to a sutra, is not praying to a screen, he is not praying to an object like the back of a saddle in front of him, his prayer would be void if one of the three passed in front of him. If a woman, a dog, or a donkey pass in front of him. So it's an issue of dispute among scholars. Now, the majority of scholars say that nothing voids your prayer. And they say that it only decreases the ajr, the reward of it. So if you allow any of the three to pass through in front of you, this decreases the ajr you have. And some of them said, well, nothing cuts or interrupts your prayer except the black dog. And they said that women and donkeys are exempted from this. Why? Because there are hadiths that tell us that it's okay, or so they said. For example, Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, reported to us that she used to lie down in front of the Prophet ﷺ while he was praying, and whenever he wanted to perform prostration, the area was so narrow, he had to, you know, tell her to move a bit, and she would take her feet away, and he would prostrate ﷺ, and once he stood for prayer, she would put her feet back again. So they say that women do not cut or void a person's prayer when they intervene or come in front. And as for the donkeys, Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and with his father's hadith, that he came to Mina while the Prophet was in the congregation with the companions, and he left his donkey, and the donkey used to go in front of the rose while he was praying. So the donkey was roaming around, and it did not cut anybody's prayer. But scholars came back and said, well, this is different. Now, we said about passing through. So Aisha was not passing in front of the Prophet. So it's okay to lie down, to sit, or to stand. Passing is not acceptable. As for the donkey did not pass in front of the Prophet ﷺ. It passed in front of the people following the Prophet ﷺ in prayer, which means that the sutra or the screen for the imam is sufficient for those behind him. So it's okay. And this is a general fact known to everyone. So again, this hadith, though it's an issue that scholars have disputed on, yet the authentic verdict is that these three do interrupt the salah and they avoid the salah. And Aisha's objection, may Allah be pleased with her, is not acceptable because the person who said these things is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one would say, okay, but Aisha should have known better. Well, Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, had her own conviction, and this is what she thought. But this was not the opinion of Abu Hurairah, Abu Dharr, Abdullah ibn Mughaffal, and three of them are from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and three of them narrated the same hadith, which means that this is what the Prophet ﷺ said. Now, why? This is not to us to decide. Some scholars said, well, the dog, a black dog, we know that it's a devil, so it cuts the prayer. The donkey, we know that the donkey is related to devils. It's not a cousin or so, but the donkey does his braying, a donkey brays when he sees a shaitan. You know, a dog barks and a donkey brays. So that when a donkey brays, it makes his sound. He only makes this when he has seen a shaitan or a devil. And the Prophet ﷺ told us that, and we know this by fact, that Satan's or devils have the ability to transform. So they may look like a dog, they may look like a donkey, they may look like a black cat or so on. And finally, a woman interrupts your prayer, not because she is impure, not because she is a najasa or anything, but because she is beautiful. And she may lure you, and she may tempt you. And that is why in prayer, she is not allowed to speak or say subhanallah. The only thing that she is allowed to do is to clap her hands, because her sound, her voice may have an effect on some people. Mustafa, we have 35 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question is very simple. I think a better explanation for the woman part is that this narrated by Abu Dawood and Nasa'i, when they said that the woman, she has to be menstruating for her to cut the prayer.
No, when they said that she has to be menstruating, meaning that she has to be, she would have reached the age of puberty. Mm-hmm. Not that she has the period or menstruate, she is in the state of menstruating.
So a child would not validate.
A child would not invalidate your prayer. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have for today's program. So inshallah, until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.